probably the best book, the Bible, to read daily is the book of Psalms. And this morning we have chosen, I beg pardon, my throat is not good today. Psalm 20. And the most famous verse in this Psalm 20 is actually verse 7 that many of us have recited, and we will try and recite it later. There's some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Oh, how wonderful it is. Psalm 20, like all the Psalms, the hymnal of the Old Testament church. Here we have our revival hymnal, other hymnals containing hymns for us to sing. In the Old Testament church, the Psalms were the hymns, and they provided that word of God set to music. So here is one. I pray that after today, this psalm will become more meaningful and precious to all of us. To the chief musician, the Psalm of David. You know that David wrote most of the psalms, many without his autograph, unnamed, so we do not know for sure, but definitely he has written at least half the psalms. And what has David got to say to us today? This is the theme and the trend of thought I want all of us here to bear in mind. These are from the pen of a man called David. Someone that was called the man after God's own heart. Someone who feels for his people inasmuch as he felt for the sheep. And that made him to write Psalm 23, which is more famous than 20. Whatever it is from the pen of David, inspired of God, to write so that today you can read and catch the sense of this psalm. What is he trying to tell us? Every time we read any portion of God's word, please, dear friends, upstairs and downstairs, when I speak, please pray. Pray for me and pray for this bad throat of mine. Pray for yourself as we read. Keep on praying, Lord. Unless the Holy Spirit instructs you, you cannot understand the psalm. Unless the Holy Spirit keeps reminding you and impress on you the preciousness of this psalm, you cannot understand it altogether. Verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. How good to start a psalm like that. The Lord, he is always the focus of our attention. Not us. The Lord first. Priority. Focus your hearts and minds. Even as you read, in your heart say, Lord, I want you to teach me today. To give me a good lesson on how to conduct my life. And what a precious psalm this is. The Lord hear thee. Now this is the King David saying to us who read. It is his prayer for us. The Lord hear you. Even as we need God every day. Did you realize that you need God every day? Never be a Christian who says, I woke up too late and therefore I could not pray today. This is the common excuse, wake up too late. Remedy is wake up early and pray. But you must remember, for there are people who wake up early and their first thought is football. First thought is stocks and shares. The Dow Street Index
And all these things, the cares of life, crowd in before you start your day. Never do that. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hear thee early in the morning. Before you begin your day's work, how do you pray? Remember what the Lord says. When you pray, go into your room. Shut the door. Take off the telephone. And don't read Straits Times for a start. So these are the common things. I'm sure you say, you always tell us the same old things. I tell you the same old things because they are the important things that you always forget. Because all of us, the natural tendency is straight to something you like, which is not prayer. Problem. Now let's read again. The Lord hear thee, please. My prayer as a pastor is always for the people, including myself, of course. What time did I wake up this morning? 2:15. Amazing! I didn't intend to wake up at 2:15. I set my clock for 4:30. I said 4:30 is good enough. But at 2:15 I woke up. I said, hey, I feel fresh enough. So straight on to commune with the Lord. Why don't you do that sometimes? If God sends you insomnia sometimes, wake you up early in the morning, first thought is the Lord. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The Lord hear me in the day of trouble. The name of the Lord, God of Jacob, defend thee. Wonderful. Do you know there is power in a name? Oh yes. If you are a personal friend of somebody very important, when it is mentioned and you can say, he's my friend, how wonderful it is. If you are overseas and they know you're a friend of the Prime Minister, how much respect they give to you at the customs, they give you special treatment. So it is. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. How well do you know that name? Jesus. It's strange, some people don't even know the name of Jesus. They don't know the meaning, do you know? Jesus, Savior. Of course, the world doesn't know that. The world laughs. They say, oh, safe from what? I'm always safe. So this is the problem with the world. I say, may you not fall into the same kind of ignorance. Jesus, the name that charms all, that drives away all fears, that charms our heart and draws us close to God. You ever thank God for Jesus, that wonderful name? The name of God of Jacob, defend thee. Yes, his name is Emmanuel, God with man. How can we know more of God except God came to us? In the person of Jesus, do you know that? So that the life of Jesus is an object for you. The model, not the pastors, not the elders, because we all are sinful creatures. Only Jesus. Make him your model. Make him the object of your adoration. It's very sad when you go to people's homes and see young people, pin-ups of scantily clad ladies. And to them it is wonderful. Now, please, those of you who have it, please think again. Jesus, the name above all names, and he is called Counselor, Mighty God, Wonderful. All these are his names. And he is your Savior, your friend. How much do you love him? Seek him? Speak with him? Walk with him? Make him your model? And follow him. And he has name that is above all names. Only the name of Jesus one day will fill all the earth. And the knowledge of all people on earth on that day, Jesus. Men will be hurrying to Jerusalem in order to see the King, in order to worship in my holy mountain in Jerusalem. The name of Jesus on that day, coming in a millennium, 1,000 years, do you know that? Are you his friend? Do you talk to him every day? I say,
It is a wonderful meeting to come to see all of you. It is good, but not practical, not practicable for me to greet everyone, because it will take from morning till night with so many people. But we must devise some way to have more fellowship, pastor and people. So we will think about that. You pray about it. And then we will see what we can do, so that we get to encourage one another, that our fellowship, our friendship must go beyond these walls, into your homes, or you come to my home. And there we strengthen our ties, our bonds of fellowship. The name of Jesus is the binding factor, because He first loved us, that we love Him, and because of this mutual love of Jesus and His name, we love one another. Verse 2. Now what is David praying about? David says, God send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Two words I want you to pay attention. One is sanctuary. This is the sanctuary. Now you say it is just brick and mortar, another room, isn't it? Yes. But, oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is a special place. It has been set aside for holy worship, so that in this place we come reverently, gratefully. Every time you come in, be thankful and be thoughtful about the things that we speak here are all for the kingdom of God and His righteousness and for our edification in this place, the sanctuary. So David says, may help come to you out of this sanctuary, representation of the throne of God. Today we do not have a throne of God on earth. During the millennial time it will be in Jerusalem. Today this is the place. Every house of God, the sanctuary, the place of holy worship, is the place where God meets with His people as a group. Thank you all for coming. I was so blessed when I saw all of you here. Of course, there are some people who have give up. Halfway, too much rain, cannot come. Thank you. Thank God you are here. So, God will strengthen you out of Zion. What is Zion? Zion is Jerusalem. Is God's city. The eternal city. Where God Himself will one day reside in the person of the Lord Jesus. And therefore the blessing will come from there. All nations in that day will flock to Zion, Jerusalem. Blessed are those who love thee, the holy city of God. Unfortunately, there are in the church those who have given up on Zion. And they say, the church has taken over. Zion is finished. You think so? Oh, dear friends, Zion or Israel is not finished. God has not written off Zion. God has not finished with His people. Although they are in darkness and blindness at the moment, the day will come. You know, He's a wonderful God. We have a wonderful God we worship. That even those, His own people crucified Him, Jesus has not given up on them. For He is bound up by His own covenant. Blessing will come to the seed of Abraham. And out of that will come the Redeemer, the root of David, Zion. Here it is. Verse 3. Remember all your offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. This is His prayer, that God will remember you for your offerings. Every time you come to the house of God with a heart of worship, heart of gratitude. Did you come to God's house today grateful? It is very important, the attitude, you know. Very, very important. There are some people who maybe,
Wish I could do something else. Why this like a penalty, a sentence? Every week I got to spend this precious time. God gave you 7 days. And he says, return to me one. He has every right and power to take away all your 7 days. And you get no days. But he gives you seven. And he says, you just keep one for me. Is that fair? You ask yourself. You're the father. You give your child $7. And say, son, if you remember your father and your mother, keep us one day, $1. So remember all thy offerings. How did you offer? It is such a wonderful thing to see a child preparing the pocket money he or she has got for the week and keeping part of it in order to give to the offering bag, to return thanks and to say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have enabled me to do. Do you know? Yesterday at lunch, we heard one of my colleagues, a surgeon, was operating, and halfway through, his mind went blank. He didn't know what was the next step, and he could not proceed with the operation. Now you say, of course, he's old. He's not as old as me, but old enough to get mind blank. Do you think that it only happens to surgeons? How about it can happen to you? Just because your mind is thinking, your gray cells in there are functioning well, all the computerized cells, the billions of cells, you know how many billion cells you have in your brain? That all the connections are working, and you can think, you can speak, you can plan and operate and do your business. Thank God. God allows you as long as He is pleased to allow you to carry on your business. So be thankful. How are you thankful and grateful? May God accept your burnt offering. Verse 3. Today, no burnt offerings, no other offerings except one. The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ done on Calvary for you and for me. Therein is our merit. I plead nothing, not because I've given, not because I've sacrificed, but all the time when we come to this holy sanctuary, say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have no merit, no matter how much I actually give and sacrifice and offer, it's nothing. It's all by the merit of my Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for me, for you. Remember all these my offerings. What a wonderful prayer of David, isn't it? For all of us. Verse 4. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Verse 5. We will rejoice in that salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners, for the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Pray this prayer for your children, for your loved ones. This prayer of David is for you and for me, that God will be merciful 2,500, 3,000 years later after this was written, that we will read and appropriate these verses to ourselves. That petition of David applies to you and me. How wonderful. It's a prayer for us. And you pray it. Pray for yourself. Pray for your friends. So important that we learn to pray spiritual prayers. Don't just pray for good night's rest, important. Study well, important. Score good marks, important. Do well in work, important. And get the next promotion. All these are necessary. But did you ever pray God to make you more spiritual, more humble, more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Following Him is not just physical, but it is a spiritual exercise. Following Jesus is that you may become more Christ-like, more humble, more helpful, more pleasing, and more strong to stand against temptations. Even as Jesus went through that temptation in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Not my will, but your will." This is the greatest problem today. Whose will are you doing? Satan's will is always there. I've written today, please read. I didn't write it just because I felt like writing. But when I read what was happening, I was compelled to write. Those days, we blame the television. So, some people are very strict and they actually take the television and throw it away. No television in my house. So you gain the victory, right? Great victory. Strong enough to get rid of television. Enough? Satan is smarter than you. Now Satan sends in the two-edged sword called the internet. Every child, from the time he knows how to study, is given a computer. You cannot escape the computer. And there, taking a free ride, is our great adversary, Satan, into the computer. Can you stop it? So every child has a computer. And there, sits there through various channels, comes in the temptation of Satan attacking your child. Do you know it? I read that the sociologists, people who are worried, concerned in America, why is it our children are not doing as well as the Asian children? Do you know our boys and girls who go to America beat all the Americans in many, many things, and they are worried. Why? Americans doing not so well. Of course, they are still number one in the world, but when their children are not doing well, they wonder. Sociologist says, we found out. Every child is doing internet. And when you ask them, everyone says, study law. Study. Lock up in the room for 2 a.m., 3 a.m. What did you do last night? Why did you come? You can't wake up this morning? Study law. What do you say to them? Can you sit there every day, 24 hours a day, and say, all right, make sure you study. I got to watch you. Dear friends, we must devise a way, seek a way of God that our children will spontaneously avoid those evil channels and say, I will use the computer for the glory of God. Can that be? I don't know. It's not easy. But it is a challenge today. If we give up the challenge, give up the fight and say, well, can't be helped, lah. Carry on. Yes, they will carry on. And you are going to breed a lot of godless generation coming up who will put the computer first and all that comes out of the computer, all the filth of it, and they become what? Gays and lesbians. It's sweeping through Singapore today. How do you know? Because the Straits Times says it. You read the 18th of August Straits Times by a lady called Serene Goh. Read it. And you will be amazed, shocked, what's happening. And what does she say? We have a problem. And the problem is to be thrown back to the parents. Well, that's what the Straits Times prescribes. What do you think? My friends, if parents do not know God, if parents do not have a holy plan of action, what can parents do? I said, there is nothing short of the working of the Holy Spirit today. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, Psalm 20 is one, and all the rest of the Holy Gospels and the Word of God must be given to your children, and by earnest prayer of parents, pastors, elders, everybody concerned, awake, be revived, to know that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle. And the prize at stake is the lives and future of your children, grandchildren, all of them. You do nothing and give up the battle and say, too bad, I can't help it.
You will have lost even before you fire the first shot. But here it is. Verse 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation. If your child comes and voluntarily say, Daddy, Mommy, I want to be confirmed. I want to join the Bible class. I don't want to go to vacation with you, but I want to join the camp. You rejoice. We rejoice. If you have succeeded in implanting in your child a love for God, a love for His Word, you have succeeded. This is the problem. This is the fight today. Verse 5 says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. So rejoice, dear friends, if you have succeeded. Have you? Let me ask you that very frank question. Have you succeeded in converting your child to love God first? This is the reality of our ministry. So it says here, in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Meaning to say we are in the midst of a great battle. No more and no less. That is a great battle. And what kind of banner do you have? You watch the National Day Parade and all the flags of Singapore and the battalions all have their battalion banners. The banner is one which rallies the people. This is our war cry, our symbol. This is where we all are going to fight to our last drop of blood for the loyalty that we owe to Singapore. Right? That is the banner. Translated into the kingdom of God, how much do you love the kingdom of God? Verse 5, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set our banners, even the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where Christ died for you and won our salvation and defeated Satan forever and crushed the head of Him who has caused the whole human race to fall into sin. That is our banner. Nothing else. That's why Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you but Christ and Him crucified. That is our banner. Number 6. Now this is our key verse. Now know I that the Lord saveth His anointed. If God will save His anointed, the King, will God not save you? Answer is absolutely. God saves everyone who comes to Him in faith. God saves everyone who repents and says, Lord, I want to be your child. Please make me good like you. Will He do it? Yes. Absolutely. This is the promise. Verse 6. Now I know when I review all that God has done, His great mercy to even the most sinful person like me. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, and yet He had mercy. He forgave me. So, now I know because God has done it to save His anointed, He will save you. Save him. You hear him from the holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Do you know what is the right hand? I trust that most of us are right-handed. And the right hand has come to signify the hand of power. You never read anywhere to say, I make you sit on my left hand. Never. The hand of honor is the right hand. And so this is God's promise. You come to Him and plead with Him and beg Him, God will help you with the right hand of His power and bless you with that right hand. The best hand, the good hand, the powerful hand is yours when you cry to Him. Verse 7, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Take this as a second memory verse. We want to say it together. Will you say it with me together? Verse 7.
Some trust in chariots, some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20 verse 7 together again. Psalm 20 verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Take this home and think about it. Yes. Some people are so happy, so proud, so sombong, they say. Because now he's got millions in the bank. Now he's got 2-3 cars. Now he's got a whole host of servants. And now he's flying high and mighty. Chariots and horses he's got. But he hasn't got the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, always available, always willing, always walking with you, you have everything better than the horses and chariots. Verse 8, they are brought down and fallen. Who are brought down and fallen? Chariots and horses, what are they? Physical things. Do you know that the word of God is more powerful than the whole universe? For by the word of God, God created the universe. By the word of God. You have the word of God? Here is the word of God. Psalm 20. Read it again. Verse 9 in conclusion, save, Lord, save. Let the king hear us when we call. Who is the king? Not the physical king, not the human king, but the king, Jesus, the one who will rule in Jerusalem one day, now ruling in your heart. Call to him every day. Make the morning hour your best hour. Never you leave for work and say, too late, too busy, too many things, no time for prayer. But save, Lord, the king. Let the king hear us when we call. We want to read just the two verses, 6 and 7, as we close, that you will take this home with you. All right, together, Psalm 20, verses 6 and 7, together. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, grant to us that spiritual insight and receptivity to hunger and thirst after your word and to seek every day to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for all our young people, even the older ones, for we know that temptation spares no age. I pray that we will all be strengthened in the inner man, reinforced by the right hand of God, that we will love thee and love thee in a wonderful way. That is to hate evil and to eschew evil. Everything that is of the world and of Satan, Lord, take it away from us. Bless your people that we will trust only in the name of the Lord our God. In his blessed name we pray. Amen.